It's a Windows Phone Leak-a-palooza. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here to talk about the latest with Windows Phone, Windows 8.1 Update 1, and a rumor alert. It's all coming up next, plus a brand new phone for Verizon that looks pretty sweet. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 349, recorded February 12th, 2014, Windroid 8.1. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want when you want with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. And by Carbonite. Whether you have one computer at home or several at your small business, Carbonite backs up your files to the cloud automatically and continually. Plus, access your files anytime, anywhere with a free app. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. No credit card required, and use the offer code Windows to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free 2-week trial and 10% off, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows2. A better web awaits at Squarespace.com. It's time for Windows Weekly. Fasten your seatbelts. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here, our Windows experts, to talk about the latest from Microsoft. Paul, of course, blogs at the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com, writes books like they're going out of style, which they are.
Books are going out of style.
As a matter of fact. Is just the expert on this stuff. Hi, Paul. Good to have you. Mary Jo Foley also here from allaboutmicrosoft.com, ZDNet blogger who has the best sources inside Microsoft. And who of the two of you was the first to pick Satya Nadella as the CEO at Microsoft? Did you have a pool?
No, I mean, I would have to think that when we went back and talked about this originally on the show, that he kind of organic. Oh, I see. I guess it was Leo. Sorry.
Okay, nothing. I'm not saying nothing.
Well, I'd have to go back and listen to it, but I suspect when Ballmer made this announcement, which was a little shocking to everybody.
Right.
I distinctly remember saying Alan Mulally really early.
Right.
And I'd assume that Satya Nadella was the first or best choice internally that we would have come up with. I think
that's clear. I mean, you know what? The candidates have been, despite the list of 100, it was always, you know, Mulally, Tony Bates, Nadella. Who's the other one internal? Stephen Elop.
Stephen Elop.
Yeah. And actually, I thought what they were going to do is get my dream scenario is you get Mulally in for a few years, tighten the bolts down, train Elop, and then Elop takes over. I wonder. We mentioned this last week. I wonder what happens now to Tony Bates and Stephen Elop. Are they hurt?
They rot in hell, Leo, where they belong. No, I don't know.
We don't know if they're going to stay or go.
Yeah. I think Mary Jo raised this issue last week, right? Yeah. Whether they disappear.
And Kevin Turner, too, the COO. We don't know.
He was another candidate. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I don't see how anyone who was a viable candidate to be the next CEO of Microsoft would feel snubbed and leave personally. But I agree that stuff happens. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, this is business, right? Yeah,
and if you want to be a CEO, you know, you don't really want the consolation.
You should put a ring on it. Oh no, that's another
wrong song.
All the single CEOs. I don't have your notes for some reason, so I thought I did.
There's a new thing now. The notebooks are listed by date.
Oh, I see. 2014 now comes after 2011. There you go.
Are they really they changed the order?
It's not sorted.
It's not. I had 2013 up, but 2012. It goes 2013, 2012, 2011, 2014.
So there you go. I missed it.
Is this the web version I'm looking at?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm
no, that's okay.
That's what I'm using.
I've been using the Windows 8 mobile version lately. It's actually kind of a nice looking app.
I shall get myself one of them Windows things one of these days.
Yeah. I hear that's the next big thing.
Later. I love my Acer S7. But the problem is it's so funny. It's a year old and already two generations old. The iteration is very quick there because of Haswell.
Yeah. There's a new version of that laptop.
I know. It's now higher res and I guess it was kind of expensive. It's $1,500. I hate to buy a new one, but I think I need to. And I really love it.
I guess the new one has much better battery life too.
Yeah, of course it does. Because they want to screw me. Of course it does.
I think Padre's going to get me a loaner.
I think you should try it. I know, Mary Jo, you're still in the laptop hunt.
I am. But Padre said he knows people.
He has connections at Acer. And I bought my Acer S7, but I really do like to do that. I don't like to get in the pockets of these companies. But he has a few. I've noticed last time he did This Week in Enterprise Tech, he had two of them on the desk in front of him. So... Yeah, he should get you one. He should get you one.
Yeah. I just want a loaner. And then if I like it, I'll buy it too.
Good.
Yep.
I don't know if you... we're going to talk about Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're going to talk about the story you're wondering.
I know you know which one I want to talk about, but I see it's
we're going to talk
it's a little
about
lower
that.
On the totem pole than I would have.
What, did something happen this week?
Nothing.
Okay.
So let's do the Windows Phone leak-a-palooza.
the best thing about that headline is...
What?
You think I wrote that, don't
I
you?
Do. It's I you, Mary Jo.
It was
you're
me.
Rubbing
channeling
off
Paul.
On her. Yeah, you're rubbing off on her, Paul. So RT is up to 8.1. Windows Pro up to 8.1. In fact, Update 1 is coming with her Windows Phone 8.1.
Right, Windows
we
Phone
do something radical.
Yes, something very
something
radical.
Weird.
What's that?
You have a rumor of the week. I think we should do that right now.
Is this a okay? Rumor of the week.
Is that weird, or do you want to wait?
I think we should wait.
You're going to hold the rumor. She is a tease.
I am a tease.
I saw that, and I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about.
Rumor of the week.
It's just a pure rumor. It'll come later. It'll keep people. Okay. On the show.
All right. Well, there's a good rumor coming. That's all I'm saying.
So, let's talk about first the leak, because this was pretty interesting. Because I think it was just last week, Paul and I were saying, it's so weird. Nothing's really leaked about Windows Phone 8.1. And then this week, Microsoft gave the SDK out to some choice developers. And within hours, literally, everything leaked.
Wow.
It was like, I mean, of course, right? Like people can't help it. They get the emulator, they get the documentation. And it's like, oh, wow, let's throw all these features up on Twitter and on Reddit, and like let's talk about everything.
Yeah, wow.
So a lot of stuff leaked. It's not every single feature, and everybody keeps saying that, and I think this is true because Cortana didn't leak the Siri-like. Feature that's coming for Windows 8.1 that wasn't even enabled supposedly in this developer release, but a lot of other features did leak, and man, the list is long. So some of them were predictable, like IE11 is going to be the new browser and it's going to have WebGL support. VPN support's going to be built into the operating system. We had kind of wondered about that because they had said we might have to wait for an add-on enterprise pack for that, but it looks like it's in the OS. And then the SkyDrive becomes OneDrive. That's going to be all changed as of the new 8.1 phone release. What else? For developers, there's this new universal app template so that you can have this single template if you're a Windows Phone or a Windows 8 developer, and you can reuse a lot more of your code to write. You're still going to have to write two apps, but you're going to be able to reuse a lot more of your code so that an app you write for Windows Phone 8.1 will be very... very similar to your Windows 8 version of that app. Not identical, but very similar.
So just quickly on that one, I haven't looked at that yet, but I suspect that this universal app thing, which is probably a good thing to put in quotes, although that's what it says in Visual Studio.
It does.
Is probably a project, a solution that has separate projects for...
It does.
phone, and yeah. I bet that's how it works.
Yep.
But
yeah, today some more.
They're kind of formalizing something that people might have done ad hoc before.
Yep, right. So you still are going to have two projects, but one template and two. And now you're going to use AppX as your packaging for Windows Phone, mm-hmm. like you do on Windows 8. Mm-hmm. So they're bringing the two platforms closer together, as we had heard they were going to do. But still, not it's not a case where there's one app store for Windows Phone and Windows 8. There's still going to be two for now. But you're kind of seeing the whole convergence thing that they've been promising for years now starting to come forward. What else was in there? No, I don't think the Notification Center is in there yet, is it? The new Action Center?
No, and I haven't seen this, but supposedly there's something called an Action Center, which is something we know from Windows, is in there and supposedly separate from the Notification Center. I'm not even sure what that means.
It's two different things, Notification
That's
Center.
That's my understanding based on the way the Reddit thing went. I don't see it, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And then Bing search becomes more like the Windows 8.1 Bing search, so it's more like universal search with Windows mm-hmm. Phone. What else, Paul? You've looked at a bunch of this stuff, I know.
There's a podcast app now.
Oh, yeah.
Answers a big concern because as Microsoft rolled out separate mobile apps for Xbox Music and Xbox Video last year on Windows Phone in beta form, you know, people said, well, but hold on a second. There's other stuff in music and videos in Windows Phone. So if you're doing those parts of it separate, what about podcasts? You know, what about FM radio? I don't know about FM radio, but there is a podcast app. And interestingly, and not surprisingly, because Rob kind of hinted at this, the podcast app is made from the Bing group, made by the Bing group. It's a Bing app. It's not an Xbox app.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Yeah. And it looks like it answers a lot of the things that people wanted. It does URL downloading. It does. You can search for the name of the show. You can do all the subscription stuff as you would expect. It has variable speed playback. You can stream or download. It looks pretty full featured. So that's cool.
I think the only reason I like it that it's the Bing division and not Xbox is that it tells you it's an internet product that is free.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that explains
why Xbox wanted nothing to do with it. You know,
yeah, there's no money in it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the issues. It's a niggling issue. But one of the issues with podcasts, for instance, on iTunes, you press a subscribe button. Everything else in iTunes I'm paying for. Subscribe sounds like I'm going to give you money and you got my credit card. So I really kind of think this is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a minor detail. It's not a big
deal. I have to say that. So that's a very specific example of something that is happening more generally in Windows Phone. And we've kind of touched on this over the past year in different ways. When Microsoft technically released a major update to the Facebook app on Windows Phone, you may recall that app looked like the Facebook app on other mobile platforms. It didn't look like a Metro app. It didn't look like a Windows Phone app. And the kind of gyration you went through at the time was, is it better to have this app than not have it? I mean, if we're going to require Metro look and feel and, you know, if developers aren't interested in that. And this breakdown of apps on Windows Phone away from the hub model, which was kind of one of the pioneering distinctions of Windows Phone, I think is an important change. And I know people are going to be freaky about it. And I'll write a little bit about this. I've written about this in the past with regards to other things. But one of the sad truths of Windows Phone is that this hub thing has never worked. When they do integration bits, it never works. And so they integrate Facebook into the People Hub and all that kind of junk. And then Facebook adds features, and we never get them on Windows Phone because Facebook integration is a feature of the OS, and they can never update that midstream. We have to wait till some future version. So the integration parts fall apart. You know, they had a music and videos hub that no one really integrated into in any meaningful way whatsoever. They had first a pictures hub and then a photos hub, as they call it, Windows Phone 8, where once again, you could have like a list of apps that appear in there, but there was no meaningful integration. You could never integrate your Flickr libraries, your Google Plus photo libraries, wherever you might have photos online. You could never make those appear as normal folders inside the hub, which was, of course, the point of it. And so when you look at Windows, this sort of early beta release, whatever you want to call this, developer release, you see them kind of stepping back. And so I think the question becomes, not so much whether this usurps the point of Windows Phone, but rather, is it better to have Windows Phone like this, have it work the way other platforms work, and be able to update those things more frequently? Or are we going to just kind of stand our ground and say, no, we want it to be integrated experiences? That was the point of Windows Phone. And I think that's kind of the big thing.
Do you know yet, so Facebook integration with Windows Phone 8.1, I've seen like a lot of back and forth from people about this. Some saying they're going to remove the Contacts Hub integration with Facebook accounts, but other people saying no, but they're still going to have this separate Facebook app called Facebook Blue that is going to ship with the OS, but it's a separate app. But
so
it's still
I don't
integrate somehow, right?
Yeah, I don't. The developer preview that I have doesn't have that. What I can say is that Facebook as an account type, which is how that integration occurs today in Windows Phone, is no longer available. Actually, let me make sure of that. Well, it's not available right here. Maybe they could add it. You know, I mean, I don't know. The account thing has always been a little strange in Windows Phone. There's actually an iCloud entry now, which wasn't there before. They still handle different account types in different ways, but Facebook is gone in this exact build, in this exact emulator. I mean, so it could be different elsewhere. I've seen screenshots.
Come back, right?
Yep.
It might
come back
just because it's gone now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the way, if you know about this, and this is a really complex topic, if you know about how accounts work in Windows 8.1, whatever, Facebook and Twitter are example of accounts that you can add, but you're not actually adding that account to Windows. You're adding that account to your Microsoft account. And then you kind of implicitly get the Facebook stuff through your Microsoft account. You're linking it to the account, not to that device. And it's possible that that's why they're getting rid of it in Phone, because it will be consistent with the way it works in Windows. That by signing in with your Microsoft account, you can do the pass-through. So if there's a Facebook app, you could just run it, and it will see that you've signed in with your Microsoft account. You want it to sign in. That's just speculation, but that's pretty much how it works in Windows.
All right. Anything else on this topic?
I mean, there's a lot. You know, it's there's a lot of stuff that's not in here. I mean, that's the thing. I'm putting stuff on Twitter today, and people are saying, you don't understand. There's other stuff. Well, of course there's other stuff.
It's a big update.
You know, thank you. It's my first day on the internet. I've never had a beta before. You know, all I can say is what I see. I'm not going to talk about what other people see. I want to talk about what I can see, because I can't rely on what other people see. Because they could be looking at a screenshot that someone gave them, not something they actually see. And I think that's often the case. And so you can see like a Facebook tile in a Photos app somewhere. That's fascinating. I look forward to seeing that myself. Then I'll talk about it. I don't see that today. And so what I see is a kind of a scale back from the hubs, which I think is pragmatically makes sense. I see more standalone apps, which is the way the world's going. The Bing apps are built in, podcasts, you know, music, video. A lot of like new Sense apps. You know, we had Data Sense in Windows Phone 8, and now we have Storage Sense, which is just a new version of the storage feature, and Battery Power Sense. You know, kind of a cool, like a nice brand, you know.
Is this going to be one of those updates that you don't get unless you get a new phone, or are they going to push this down?
Yes, no. That's the question.
Everyone gets this.
Everybody gets
this. Everyone gets this.
Everybody
Windows Phone 8 can run this update. That's what I read today from somebody who has the documentation, supposedly.
That's awesome.
They did say that it would be available. The question is always whether.
When, right.
Well, and whether the carriers, you know, make that happen.
Carriers have to push it.
I mean, as of today, by the way, if you have a Lumia 928 on Verizon, you can get Nokia Black, which includes GDR, they're up free.
Good.
So these things happen. They just happen slowly.
So the bits go to developers at build? Is that, that's probably right when they'd get it?
Yeah. That's supposedly the time schedule. The thing I keep hearing is the RTM, Windows Phone 8.1 operating system, right before the very first day of build, which is April 2nd. And so if you're a developer, or if you're a user who's savvy enough to know how to get the developer bits, like we've talked about on the show before, it's not that hard. You can get the RTM pretty much immediately then.
Uh-huh.
If Otherwise, you're going to have to wait for your carrier or if you're getting it on a new phone, the handset maker to preload it. And that might take a few months, as we've seen in the past.
Nokia is now Microsoft, right? I mean, that went through. No?
Nope, not
China.
Yet.
We're still waiting on China.
Still waiting.
I shouldn't say this, but I got to say, for all of the things that have gone up and down and sideways over the past 10 years, if I could change anything in the realm of what we cover professionally, I would love for Nokia to be able to make it as a separate company. I would love for them not to be sucked into Microsoft. I'm really nervous about this.
Really?
Well, maybe the Chinese will make your wish come true.
I feel like this company, which is running on the edge of disaster, has had the most amazing couple of years, has released a crazy number of phones and accessories and services and apps. And it's amazing. And I am really nervous that this is all going to come to a crashing halt and that they're going to hit a brick wall. I'm really nervous about this because I saw this happen before, you know, with the Windows Live stuff. I'm really, really nervous about this. So please go out and buy a Lumia Icon because it looks fantastic.
The Icon.
Yeah, we should talk about that, even What's though it's that? Not the next on our agenda here.
Sorry.
Well, let's hold on before you do. I want to do an ad. And then when we come back, we got the Icon. I do really want to ask you about the Android.
Yeah.
And a whole lot more. And, of course, the rumor of the week. Mary Jo Foley is here from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul Thurrott from the super site for Windows and Windows IT Professional. Our show today brought to you by Lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com. I've known Lynda for so long. She's just great. She was the author of a great, right about when you were writing the Delphi Super Bible, Paul. She was writing these great books.
Did she write a competing Delphi book?
No, on web development and web design. She was the queen of that. And
we get to meet her at one of the original Microsoft Mix shows. I met Lynda.
Yeah, isn't she great?
Yeah, she was cool.
Yep. Was always very impressed. We used to have her on the screensavers fairly regularly. Always very impressed with her. But what I didn't know is what an entrepreneur she was. She started Lynda.com. Shortly thereafter, and has become the place to learn how to use software online. A lot of companies, including mine, will get Lynda accounts for their employees. We send our editors there if they want to get more proficient at Final Cut, for instance. If you're interested in Windows, they've got literally hundreds of courses on Microsoft software. You can learn the latest on Office 365 or Office 2013, Access, if you want to do some database design. Latest version of Windows, you bet, including 8.1, if you want. How to migrate from, you know, this is one I think, if you've got a family member who's still on XP, send them to Lynda. They literally have a course on how to migrate from XP to Windows 8. That's how great this stuff is. And it's not just, you know, and next you press the No, these are really great instructors. They're working professionals at the top of their field, expert teachers. In fact, one of the reasons I've stayed in touch with Lynda.com is so many of my friends teach there, including the great Bert Monroy, who does a wonderful series that's free on Lynda.com. Pixel Perfect, I think. Is that what they call it? So the memberships are really great. As I said, if you're a business, they have a group membership plan. It's great for business. For individuals, normally it's $37.50 a month for the premium plan, $25 a month for the basic plan. And each of those gives you full access to everything on the site, all the courses. Look at all the subjects. Let me just go to W for Windows, and we can just see all of the courses they have here. Actually, I guess I'll have to go to individual. Maybe it's under M, probably for Microsoft, huh? All the stuff they've got. It's just phenomenal. I think the total count is well over 2,000 courses. That means probably tens of thousands of videos, because one of the things about each course is it's carefully curated chapter by chapter so you can jump to the course and part of the course you want. In fact, they even have a complete human-written transcriptions that you can search. So you can say, well, all I really want to know is how to use, you know, the easy settings wizard. And you can jump to that part. Easy to follow videos, courses for all experience levels, beginners to advanced. They even have courses on business strategies and more. Look at all the instructors. So many of the people that I go to, I trust, that I know, were experts in this stuff. Look, I want you to visit it right now. Mikkel Olin has 7 courses. My favorite, one of my favorite, I shouldn't say my favorite photographer, one of my favorite photographers. Burt Monroy has a whole bunch of courses at lynda.com. The Pixel Playground, that's it, Pixel Playground. That's free every week, by the way, at lynda.com. So, here's the deal. We've got a special offer for you. You can get a 7-day trial, a run of the site, every single course, take as many courses as you can in a week. If you visit lynda.com/windows, lynda.com/windows, I think you'll be pretty impressed with what you see. 7-day trial. And again, businesses that want their employees to get trained, this is a great place to go. lynda.com/windows. You can watch on your computer, your tablet, your mobile device. Pick up where you left off on any of those devices. Lynda, lynda.com/windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly on the air, talking about the latest in Windows and Microsoft and Xbox. What is the icon? And should I wait and buy one?
I know. I'm super interested in the icon. It's the Lumia 929 that we've heard rumors about for months now. Okay. 5-inch Nokia
that.
Phone.
Like the size. Yep.
Supposedly much less brick-like than many existing Nokia phones. So much thinner, has better weight distribution, so it feels easier to hold in the hand, even though it's 5 inches. 20-megapixel camera has all the usual Nokia stuff on it.
Will they announce this at Mobile World Congress? Is that what we're waiting on? Because that's coming up.
No, they actually announced it today. It's been rumored for months, and people have had screenshots and leaks on it, and Verizon accidentally posted all the specs several times on their webpage.
This is like the 928. This is a Verizon only model.
Yeah, this was previously the 929.
Right, 929. Okay. Now called Icon. They've dropped the numbers from the name. And so you can order it today through the Microsoft stores, pre-order it. It comes in white or black, and it, I think, is available as of February 20th for $200 for a 2-year contract.
Boy, this is
so
tempting.
Yeah, it might be my first Lumia phone if
this
end
one
up
looks good. Like, it's a little brick-like, but the camera appears to be physically identical to the one in the 1520.
Which is a great camera.
And is an excellent camera. And getting that in a more reasonable form factor, I think, could be nearly ideal.
Very fast quad-core processor at 2.2 gigahertz. That's pretty impressive. 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs internal
smokes
memory.
Smokes Pentiums, Leo.
Actually, that's one of Intel's little problems.
I've been dying to say that.
Smokes the Pentium.
It eats Pentiums for breakfast, Leo.
So do I go to Verizon to pre-order?
I think if you go to Microsoft Store, you can pre-order. You should be able to pre-order in Verizon, I would think. But Microsoft Store for sure.
Okay. Awesome. My Verizon, the only thing I have on my Verizon account is an iPhone 5S. I'm so sick of that. So maybe I'll upgrade on that. I have an account, with each of the carriers.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Actually, I'm not sick of it. I gave it to my daughter who broke her 5C. So now I have a 5C, but it's an AT&T phone. What's interesting? I don't know if this is true of the Windows phones, but on the 5S from Verizon, you could pop out the Verizon SIM, put in an AT&T SIM. It's unlocked.
And it's unlocked.
It just runs.
I thought they went to a universal LTE kind of thing.
It is, because it's all SIMs, but they didn't lock it. Right. So I put an AT&T SIM in it from my...
And it works.
And it works. So I thought, I was going to have to buy her a new phone. Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forfend. So now I have an empty slot in my Verizon accounts. I should have a Windows phone. How could I... Somebody said, how dare you do this show and use a Mac for the screenshots? Well, it's just what's hooked up in the studio, but...
How dare you?
How dare you, Laporte? I was thinking of getting the 2520 on the Verizon thing.
Yeah.
But this is big enough. Maybe I could just live with this.
Yeah.
What a novelty.
I'm dying to see it. Because I still am using my HTC 8X on Verizon. And, it's still a good phone and everything. But I've always wondered, what would it be like to get the Lumia apps? And now that Microsoft's going to own Nokia...
As soon as you buy one, they'll just be available to everybody.
I know, right?
The hardware in this phone is a significant upgrade from the 8X.
Yeah.
And I would use
and the
a
camera
a
word. Just for the camera. So just
my, yeah, my, camera my word for that is your 8X is superannuated.
Your bear photos on Untappd are going to be unbelievable.
So much better.
They are going to be unbelievable. Yep. That's an incentive right there.
Oh, it's in-store only. You have to go to your Verizon store.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, you can't. Now, should I get white or black?
I know. I'm kind of interested in the white.
It's black front on both.
That's in-store only from the Microsoft store.
Oh.
You might be able to go to Verizon.
I don't know. Wait a minute. Click a. Yeah, you're right. I see what you're saying. So I have to go to the Microsoft store. Find a store near you. Let me just enter my zip code. Wonder if there's one nearby. That would be awfully nice. And I have to go to Kansas. Well, that's close enough.
Oddly enough, that's also what Mary Jo gets when she
serves. Yeah, pretty much.
I'll be going to Kansas to get mine. But soon. But you said February 20th on the Verizon store. Is that right?
I believe mm-hmm. so.
So I can just wait, I guess.
Coming to Verizon, February 20th.
Introducing the Nokia Lumia icon. I get enough heat for mispronouncing Nokia.
I
must just call it Nokia from now on, and then I'll get even.
You know what the best part about this phone is, though? It's the name.
The icon.
Because they've had this, like, silly range of numbers, you know? And here they are. They're on the way out, too, right? But they finally get, like, a little brand going there. You know, it's nice.
I love it. So I click it, right? Choose your store. And then it says find a store location. And I drop that down, and it's completely blank. So
I don't understand why you can't just pick a store location, Leo.
Apparently, I just don't live anywhere near a store.
You live near a bunch of them. I'm like,
I know. They're not far away, but Microsoft declines to tell me where they are.
That's weird. Right. Usually, that just drops down and defaults.
Yeah, it's because I'm using a Mac. They don't like that. Yeah, the nearest one is actually not far. It's at the Village at Corte Madera, which is just down the road a piece.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to go there today and get myself a phone. Dang it.
Is it there today?
No.
No.
No, then
you
don't
go
today,
pre-order.
Leo.
No.
What do I? So I'm just going to give them money and they're going to say thank you very much. Goodbye.
Well, hold on one second. First of all, you have an empty line where?
An empty line?
You said you had an empty
Verizon,
slot to fill.
Verizon.
Oh, it's on Verizon.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I have an account with all four. This is ridiculous. You do not want to know what I spend on cell phones every month.
Ooh, I bet.
But that's part of my job. Like, here's Abby Laporte right now to show us her Verizon phone running on AT&T. It's a remarkable thing. Really? You know what I have for you, Abby? You're going to love this. The keyboard. Who was it that was selling that said, I want a keyboard on my iPhone? It wasn't Ryan Seacrest. It was the other guy.
Right.
Ryan Gosling? Anyway.
The other guy.
You know, the other guy. And in fact, you know, BlackBerry's suing him now, right? So I bought one of those things that you slot into a the other guy made it that you and it gives it a BlackBerry style keyboard. Ryan Seacrest, is it Ryan Seacrest's phone? Yeah, yeah, I have it at home. So now you get like a BlackBerry keyboard, and it only makes your phone about the size of a shoebox.
But it has a battery inside it. I just want one that gives my phone like pink bunny ears.
We can arrange that.
Okay.
Like floppy green bunny.
We can arrange that. Yeah. Yeah. So, are you here for a reason? Do you want money? Okay. Oh, she's working. Huh? You need to know if I have... Oh, yes. You can use my laptop here. Enjoy my laptop. I'll give it to you in a second here. Meanwhile...
I probably shouldn't mention this because we'll get robbed now, but I had to go into Boston for a meeting today. I didn't have any cash, and I asked my wife if she had any cash, and she didn't. And she said, that's okay. Kelly has $340 in cash in her first drawer.
Kelly, how old's
so
Kelly?
I go upstairs. My daughter literally has a drawer full of money.
See, Abby was not that daughter. Henry was that boy. Abby used to borrow money from Henry, right? All the time.
Who has a drawer full of money, though?
Well, kids, you know. How old is she?
12.
12-year-old has more money than you do, Paul. What does that mean?
I took what I thought was a 20, and I went into Boston, and then I went to pay for something at Dunkin' Donuts, and it was a 50.
She's running something on the side. She's got something going on the side.
I got to fix this today.
She's taking it from you and putting it in the drawer. You don't realize this.
50s? But, Paul, you don't even have 50s in your wallet. She's going to a casino.
It's like an Andrew Dice Clay joke. And it's like, no, I only carry hundreds. You know, like I don't even understand what's happening here. All right, sorry.
50?
Yeah.
That I hate that when you're at a casino and you go to the ATM in a casino, they give you hundreds.
They dish out $100 bills.
Hundos.
It's, like, it's the only way you ever get to see them, though.
Right. They're beautiful, new hundos.
Yeah, they are nice.
It's all about the Franklins, baby.
Literally, yeah.
Literally. So what's the deal with this Android thing?
Yes, Mary Jo, explain yourself.
You know, there was a Peter Bright, your friend, Dr. Pizza, wrote a great article in which he said there's no way Nokia or Microsoft could create an Android phone fork because it would be foolish because you couldn't have the Google Store on it.
Amazon did it.
Amazon did it, but they a year before they released it, built up this Android store, right? So what's the story?
So, you know what's funny about this whole story is there have been leaks for a few months now about Nokia building an Android phone. And right. Ev Leaks has been publishing pictures of this phone. Right. And it wasn't until the Wall Street Journal reported it this week that they heard it's real, that now everyone's suddenly like, wow, it's real. Okay,
well, because nobody believed it. You think it's not real?
No one believed it. It's real. It is real.
It is real.
Yeah.
Is it absolutely definitely real?
I believe so. I believe so.
I think this is the most terrible idea I've ever heard.
It's an Asha, though.
Right. We think it's an Asha replacement, right? So the Asha phones run the S30, S40 operating system software now. And the way this supposedly would work is they take Android open source project. They'd use that as the base, right? And then they would... here's what EvLeak says. EvLeak says they'd run the Nokia store on it, not Google store. And then you would have Microsoft apps and services running on an Android phone.
So the reason they can do this, first of all, Android, there's two things. There's the Android open source project, AOSP, and then there's the GSM, the Google services. And because it's open source, anyone, including Amazon or Nokia, can use AOSP stuff. But if you want to put Play Store on there, you have to put all the Google apps, and you have to get it certified by Google.
Which they're never going to do that, right?
That would be nuts.
Microsoft is not going to do that.
Scroogled. No. So, right. One word. So, and this is what Peter Bright was saying. He's saying this is a bad idea. He says it's unforkable.
It's a terrible idea, but
it's not unforkable.
No, it's totally. Right. Amazon did it.
Yes.
And a lot of Chinese companies do it.
I just think it's a terrible idea. And I don't understand why they wouldn't just base this on Windows Phone. Windows Phone already runs on amazingly low-end hardware.
So this would basically be an AOSP phone, cheap, cheap, just like they do in China, cheap, cheap phone, without Google Mobile Services, GMS.
Right.
And
instead, you'd get Skype, you'd get the Here Maps, you'd get...
Well, you need to. They may be the only company that could do this, because if you lose Google services, you lose things like the location services.
Right.
Right.
It's not just apps. You lose a lot of the functionality.
That's right.
Right.
At least that's what Peter says. And so I think that's... But if anybody could do it, maybe Nokia could, because they have the Here apps. Presumably, they have location services that are pretty strong.
Yep.
But, you know, they're... But Microsoft's going to buy this company, you know, and there has this is worse than when Microsoft bought Hotmail and Hotmail was running on top of free BSD. And it took them 7 or 8 years to get off of that code base or whatever it was, you know, because this is like an application platform now, like it's an OS. I can't believe that. I'm astonished they're going to announce
it doesn't surprise me, given that it's an Asha. So really,
it doesn't surprise me to
run it on Symbian, which is what they were running it on.
Right,
it's just too antiquated. Sure. And AOSP is better than Symbian,
right?
Even without the Google stuff. So, and if anybody could replace the Google stuff credibly, it'd be Nokia. Now, it won't run Windows Phone apps, right?
What's the Asha store story looking like today? I know there's a Nokia store. Is that where those apps? Yeah. Do they have apps?
I haven't looked.
It's for developing nations, though. It's not for U.S.
Right. It's supposed to be a very low-end, kind of like the entry-level phone And, you know, when Microsoft agreed to buy the Nokia handset division, they agreed to buy Lumia and Asha.
Right.
They wanted Asha. And the reason they wanted it was they were positioning that as the on-ramp to Windows Phone.
But couldn't so they make a that. Poor man's Windows Phone?
They already make one,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why not just do that.
What's the cheapest Windows Phone?
$520. It's under $100.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. They got it.
But still, no contract. That may... I think it's more
no contract?
The case...
Wow.
I think it's more the case of they could never... Well, I don't... Here's the thing. I don't know if it's feasible. The argument was they could never get the Windows Phone OS to work on the Asha phones for some reason, either because it was too big or technical requirements or the chip. I don't know exactly why, but that was supposedly the rationale for having a separate, different operating system on those phones. I don't know what's going to happen once Microsoft buys them, but
There's going to be I guarantee
this
you.
This phone is supposed to be unveiled at MWC in 2 weeks. If you
sometime in the next 12 months, there's going to be some Microsoft announcement where they talk about we sold this and we sold this and we sold this. And someone's going to make the observation that Microsoft is now selling more of these devices than they are of every kind of Windows device combined.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be weird. And I get that these things are $100 or less or whatever, but
so an Asha phone on Newegg is $95 unlocked. It's unlocked GSM,
right?
It's pretty.
What
crappy.
Are these like 3G max kind of deal?
Yeah, probably. I don't see LTE anywhere in the description. It looks, frankly, a lot like an iPhone. If I were Apple, I might be a little miffed. 3 megapixel camera. I mean, it's not 3-inch screen.
Does it have a Touch ID button, though? Because
no.
That would be nice.
But I have to say, I mean, if you're mad at Nokia, I mean, at Samsung, this looks an awful lot like an iPhone in every respect, doesn't it?
Those icons are way more rounded than Apple icons.
Oh, so there you go. That lets them off.
Really, they're completely different.
It's got one home button.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, it really
okay, so I'll tell you what people are saying on Twitter as they're listening to us here. Bart W. says, you know what? The Symbian phones are as cheap as 15 euros or pounds.
Wow. Okay.
I think pounds.
Okay.
In Europe. So, you know, can we get it that cheaper? Is Android phone as cheap as that? I don't know. And another commenter who's asking not to be named said one reason Asha is considered a feature phone is the carriers care about that for billing purposes, right? So Windows Phone is seen as a smartphone and Asha's the feature phone from a carrier perspective. That difference is a big deal. I don't know. Just telling you guys what people are saying.
Well, like a Lumia 520 unlocked.
I don't like it, and I blame you, Mary Jo.
I am sorry.
On Amazon, a Lumia 520 unlocked is $125. That's a little bit more than $35.
An unlocked one. I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Unsubsidized. And that's what we're talking about. You can't, we're not talking about subsidized phones.
Right.
Yep.
In these markets. It's a better phone, 5 megapixel camera, 8 gigs. It's an IPS screen.
It's got micro SD expansion.
It's a better phone, but that's not the point. The point is the out the door price.
Yep, no, that's fair. Yep.
I just don't want Microsoft to sell it.
I agree. It doesn't make sense for Microsoft to have this device. I just don't get it.
Well, then they shouldn't have bought the Asha division.
Yeah.
I've seen a few people point out the fact that before you actually acquire a company, you're not allowed to collude with them, So if Microsoft really can't go to Nokia right now legally and say to them, don't do this, they have the right to do it. And if they had this as their path,
could they legally go to them and say, we're reconsidering this whole purchase.
No,
we're
going to
let you guess why.
No, they could have Nokia announce the phone and then they could kill it. Right. Once they own them.
Here's the Nokia icon ad leaked, right. in which a beautiful young woman races. This is straight out of American Graffiti. Two cars, a Corvette, and I don't know what the hell that one on the right is.
Yeah, it's like a '50s Ford kind of thing.
Yeah. And then she's British, I gather.
That's where it focuses on capturing great audio. Now, let's race.
Apparently, there's great audio in the icon.
Yeah, this is a weird thing to make your claim.
See and hear what you've been missing. It's a very odd ad.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on YouTube.
Yep.
I thought that was going to be an ad for the Android phone. Foolish me.
Sorry.
I got all excited. All right. So there you go.
I'm going to go to Mobile World Congress just so I can boo when they announce this.
I'll be the one guy. By the way,
boo.
Well, you were there.
Boo.
You were there by accident a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Next year we're going. I just think this is, forget CES.
I don't know why I don't go either, actually.
It is the show to go to.
Yeah.
Samsung's going to announce their S5.
Right.
You're going to have all sorts of interesting stuff coming out. It's Barcelona.
It is. I know, which is awesome.
That's where I'm going this summer, by the way, for the home swap.
I love Barcelona.
Nice. You know, one key word we should talk about in this whole discussion is, if you read the Wall Street Journal articles talking about this Android phone, they say Nokia is going to show this phone at Mobile World Congress. They didn't say announce.
Ah.
So they also could just be showing
it in somebody's pocket
privately,
yeah.
Right? I don't know. So we'll see if they actually make a big announcement there on that.
Right.
Nokia does have a big press conference slated for MWC and their developer conferences there too. So
every one of the big carriers is there showing you stuff. That's the place to be. The HTC One successor will be there. But what's ironic is the only people now who make Windows phones are Nokia. So. It's not like there's.
That's not true, Leo. I heard Archos was going
to. Archos is going to do a Windows phone. All right. Can you do that? Can you? You can license it, right?
Sure.
Our show today brought to you.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you license it to Barcelona? By the way, if you ever wish to know why we don't call Spanish Spanish but Castilian, I want you to read this book by Alan Tepper. The Castilian Conspiracy, the uncensored truth about the most widely used Spanish language.
Is the what?
Never mind. Just when you go to Barcelona, remember.
Catalan is the most widely used Spanish
language? No, remember that that's Catalan, not Castilian in Barcelona.
Right.
Forget it. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to work in a plug for my friend's book. That's all. La Conspiración del Catalano. Our show today brought to you by, here's a real plug, by Carbonite.com, Carbonite Online Backup. We just learned, we talked about it yesterday on the Security Now show, about a law firm that got bit by CryptoLocker. That's the virus that encrypts all your data. All of their hard drives are encrypted by this virus. Apparently, they didn't have a backup or a good backup. They had a hot backup. They didn't have an unencrypted backup. They didn't pay in time, and they lost all their clients' data.
Yikes.
Apparently, they don't listen to this show. Get criminy. I mean, not just for, okay, if you're a business and you lose your data, your clients' data, you're out of business. I can't imagine that law firm goes on. Even if you're just, you know, like a mom-and-pop operation, you lose your client list, your supplier list, your accounts receivable, what are you going to do? If you're a home user and you lose, you know, your tax records, hey, April 15th, just around the corner, emails, 50,000 small businesses trust Carbonite with their files. To date, Carbonite has backed up more than 30 billion files. They do 350 million files a day. Carbonite guarantees you will not lose your data. They wrote the book on data security, and I want you to try it free right now. Visit for home or for office. It's, by the way, always a flat rate. That's one of the nice things. They have a variety of plans, but the personal plans for a single computer, $59.99 a year, less than $5 a month for everything on your PC or Mac. They're pro plans for workstations, external drives, server plans for databases, live applications. And they have actually created a crypto locker task force because so many people are looking for a solution so they don't become like this law firm. Somerset, Massachusetts Police Department got bit by CryptoLocker. Don't get bit by CryptoLocker. All you need is Carbonite, and you won't. Try it for free. 2 weeks, no credit card required. Just use our offer code WINDOWS. And if you decide to buy, you'll get 2 free months with purchase. You got to back it up to get it back. The best backup's automatic, so you don't have to remember it. It's continuous, so anytime you change a file, it's backed up. And it's in the cloud, so you don't have to worry. Carbonite.com. Please use the offer code Windows. All right. Continuing on. Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about Microsoft and Windows. And, yes, it wouldn't be a show without Windows 8.1 Update 1 Update. Update. The update update.
Yep.
The update of the update.
What's the latest? Paul?
The latest is
Paul. I saw so many tweet this. So many people tweet this article. I bookmarked it. What the heck is happening to Windows, asked Paul Thurrott. He's finally had it.
He lost his cookies.
He's finally had it.
Jeez. This is arguably the most misunderstood thing I've ever written in my life.
I think it's crystal clear, Paul.
Thank you. I thought it was too.
It's a mess. It's terrible. Update 8.1. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase. You say that by trying to be all things to all people, Microsoft is nothing to anyone. That Windows 8.1 by design by committee, by trying to appeal to everybody, has finally jumped the shark. Accurate?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. I mean, over the past week, there were two leaks of the Update 1 bits, you know, and I installed the first one in a virtual machine and kind of looked at it. The more recent one is more complete and possibly even final code, but it's whatever it is, it's more complete. And I've installed that on several actual machines, including the one I use every day. And I've really gone back and forth on this because, I'm, you know, as you would doing what I do, you try to figure out what's going on in the world. And I can't figure out what's going on in this world anymore. It doesn't make any sense to me. I completely understand what they were trying to do with Windows 8. But I also completely understand that it isn't what users wanted and that there was a very obvious and serious rebellion against this whole Frankenstein thing with the two OSs jammed into a single system. And so, you know, Windows 8.1, yeah, we talked about this. You know, they made these concessions where if you use it on a desktop, it's better for you. And if you use it on a tablet, it's better for you. And I kind of, you know, that makes sense, you know, responding to customer feedback and so forth. And I feel like in Update 1, it's just like jump the shark moment, you know, inconsistent, bizarre user interfaces. It's crazy. And, you know, I guess it could change. I mean, it may not be completely final. You know, who knows? But I just feel like it's kind of rudderless, you know? I also feel like if you say we're at point A, and point A is Windows 8.1 today, and point B is Windows 9, and Windows 9 is going to have this thing where you can run Metro apps on the desktop and everything. That's neat. But this Update 1 thing is like a third of the step to point B, and it's like partially implemented. You know, we can have icons on the desktop that are for Metro apps, and when you click on them, they go full screen, and if you click on that, you can see the taskbar, and it's like, it was bad enough that we had these two separate UIs. Now they're like commingling these UIs, yeah. And it's like, guys, you got to back away from this. It's bad.
I think the salient paragraph is the last, and I really like it.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it because I really think it's right on, and I think that this is a message Microsoft and everybody should hear. No, everybody who couldn't. It says, you can't please everybody, Microsoft, so stop trying. This is the sentence I love. It's time to double down on the people who actually use your products, not some mythical group of consumers who will never stop using their simpler Android and iOS devices just because you wish they would. Double down on the people who actually use your system. That makes
sense. Yeah, so,
that's right.
So that was incredibly well written, by the way. But in the old days, when Windows was personal computing, I kind of forgave the multiple ways of doing things because this was the way everyone had to compute, and it made sense. You'd have to reach all these different groups. You know, two things have happened then that really kind of changed my mind about the situation. One is that everyone is not using Windows anymore, by the way. You know, they're using these other things. Maybe we don't have to address everyone's needs. I mean, maybe you could make Windows simpler simply by not trying to be everything to everybody. But the other thing is actually Apple. And I always made the case with Apple, you know, with the Mac especially and with iOS at first, they're reaching a smaller audience, and so they can afford to be laser focused on stuff because they don't have as many constituencies to appease. But today, iOS is in use by hundreds of millions of people, and they've never gone astray from their path. I don't understand why they can do it and Windows can't. And so I feel like they need to accept the reality that they're going to be a minority player in the overall platforms that people will use to compute, and that they should address that market, the people that are... Why do people use Windows? Why will they continue to use Windows? The reason is not Angry Birds. It's not Candy Crush. It's not whatever. It's, you know, those things will happen. They always did, and they always kind of will. I mean, people provide me with all kinds of feedback, good, bad, and indifferent. You know, people will say, but Paul, you forgot about gamers. You know, PC gamers are really important. You know, I guess. Here's a newsflash. PC gaming happens. You don't have to do... Microsoft doesn't have to do anything ever again to appease PC gamers. That just happens. PC makers can make PCs for gamers. You can buy your video cards, your RAM, and you can buy your games. There's no... Windows doesn't have to do anything to make that happen. I just think that this focus, lack of focus, is counterproductive, I guess.
I think you could see it as an opportunity for Microsoft. Thank goodness we don't have to appeal to everyone.
Wow, I like it. The making lemonade approach.
I believe that that's true in any business. You super serve your natural customer.
Right. So the problem, I got a lot of feedback from Microsoft guys, past and present. And one of them had a great quote about the real problem with Windows 8, which was that Windows Vista was a disaster of its own right. But Windows Vista was made...
Good news. Windows 8 adoption has finally exceeded that of Windows Vista.
But Windows Vista was made with the best of intentions. Like, those people weren't trying to hurt anybody. You know, they may have released kind of a bomb, but they really were trying hard and wanted to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, Windows 8 was deliberate. It very deliberately stopped all the backwards compatibility stuff with the user experiences and so forth. They very deliberately jammed this mobile user experience down people's throats, whether they wanted it or not. I think the problem fundamentally with Windows 8 is that it was not agnostic to different types of users. It was outright hostile to the very users that matter most to Windows.
Right.
Business users, productivity users, developers. I mean, it just was the wrong thing to do to those people, and it was done deliberately and kind of belligerently. And it is no wonder, it should be no wonder, why people have reacted to this thing the way that they did. I, as a technology enthusiast, I think we all kind of fall into this group a little bit, and certainly people listening to this do. I mean, I sort of look at Windows 8 as kind of a fun thing. It's nuts. There's no precedent for Windows 8 in the history of Windows. This is crazy. And you can enjoy the craziness of it.
Do you agree with the John Gruber that it's Steve Ballmer's fever dream?
Well,
he didn't say it that way. He said it was Ballmer's vision of Windows everywhere. And it is the only logical conclusion. If you still want to hold on to that Windows everywhere, then you have to make it work on everything.
I said this before about Windows 8, and it's just a fact. They knew that if they released this Metro thing as something else, as some other product,
nobody would want it.
Whether they called it Windows or not, nobody would have bought it. Yep. Nobody would have bought it. And so it's like this weird thing. They had to move this thing forward. Had to put it in Windows.
I've agreed with you on that in the past. But maybe what they should have done is make a better Windows 7, and super serve their audience. You know,
by the way, the saddest defeat of Windows 8 is that they did.
Right, but it's hidden behind the Candy Crush.
And so many people refuse to be open to that or to experiment with it or see it because of the Metro stuff. They don't even want to look at it. Yep. The truth is that Windows 8 is a better Windows 7 than Windows 7. But it's got this hump on its back, you know?
Right.
Your new rant has me a little worried.
Okay.
about you and about the implications. Okay, I feel like I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Like, they tried to make it something for everybody and it became something for nobody. I agree with you on that. But now that you've got how many billion Windows users as your install base? 2 billion or 1.5 billion, whatever it is out there.
Good Lord.
Are you just going to forget about them and say, sorry, guys, if you don't want this thing we built with this immersive app and Metro style thing, then too bad. You're not, just don't use Windows anymore. I feel like they have to fix it. And I know it looks really ugly, this interim step with update one, but at least it's going to be more useful for people who use a keyboard and mouse. So, it doesn't look pretty.
I'm not sure that it is,
though.
That's what I'm worried
about.
Really? Paul, are you saying that they really should just say, okay, we were wrong and do a better Windows 7? And just eliminate Metro?
No. I mean, unfortunately, I think we're too far down the hole to kind of retreat on that. But in other words, we have to accept that Windows 8 happened. And so how do we fix this? You know, I think Windows 8.1 was a logical step in that direction. I think that Windows 8.1 Update 1 is off in a different direction. I think, for example, it would have made more sense to focus on, let's get Metro apps running in a window, you know, on top of the desktop. Would have been more meaningful.
Which is Windows 9, right? They're going to do that in Windows
9. That should have been. If they can't have that, this other stuff is not a step forward.
I just feel like I feel like all these things that they have said they're going to do, like running Metro style apps in Windows on the desktop, I think it's just harder and taking more time than they thought too. And it's kind of like Windows Phone 8.1. There's still not going to be the single app store, but you're going to get stuff that gives you a path to that. And I feel like this is kind of the stutter step for Windows too.
In the scary news department, one of the things I've heard repeatedly from different people, and I'll say that was the Tom Merritt had today, people familiar with the situation, let's say. And people not that familiar with the situation. I've heard this from a variety of people up and down the chain. But the right-click context menu stuff they're adding to the desktop, to the start screen, was much harder to implement than perhaps you would think. And they were actually kind of surprised by this. And in fact, I actually think that the desktop bits seeping into Metro is buggier than many would expect and does not work well and is going to be problematic. But because one of the things I said was, if you're going to do this, you got to do it everywhere. You can't just do it in some Metro experiences,
Right.
There are actually some very good reasons why doing this across the board in Metro apps is not advisable. It is not, I would say, even possible, which is too bad. But the fact that they couldn't even get their own interface working well easily suggests this whole thing is kind of a hairball. I mean, it's frightening. And the inconsistencies, of all the complaints, a lot of times people complain about Windows and they do it in a rote way that they haven't used Windows in years and they have lots of opinions about it and it bothers me.
Right.
But the one thing that has always stuck is the inconsistency stuff. They can never do that final bit of finish work and get it right. And I've often talked and written about this. Finish the job, I don't feel like this update one thing is a finishing of the job. I feel like it's now we have added another mess to deal with, and that's what I'm.
The one thing in your article that resonated with me, and it's something I've said about Windows 8 since they launched it, was the part that bugs me the most still about Windows 8 is, and some people think this is a feature and not a problem, but for me, the fact you can do the same thing in a million different ways, to me, drives me crazy because it keeps me from kind of mastering the product, right? Like every single time I go to snap an app, I'm like, how did I do this again the last time I did this? Right. And it's like, if there was just one way to do it and it was the only way, I think I would learn it faster,
They don't. Steve Sinofsky is arguably the only guy at Microsoft who ran Windows who had the kind of presence and drive and singular vision of a kind of a Steve Jobs. And obviously that didn't turn out well. So the chances of them finding another guy like that are probably not very good. And I just kind of wonder now how it's like we're right back to design by committee. Here we go, And I'm nervous about it. I'm absolutely nervous about it.
I'm nervous about it, but I'm excited. Like some of the things, I should say I don't have the bits because I never download what's the word I want? Illegal bits.
Illegal. That's such a harsh word. Illegal.
I must. Skype must have glitched there, Mary Jo. I could have sworn you said
illegal.
Whatever you would call. I don't have update one, but from all the pictures I've seen of it from people who do, I like this. I like some of the things I'm seeing, like the right click. You know, and getting the context menus and the thing that says snap. Here's a click. Snap this to the left or the right. Understand though,
like if you were new to Windows 8, whatever, and you were using it on a regular computer, and you right clicked on a tile on a desktop on the start screen, and a menu appeared, and you would say, "Oh, neat! You know, works like the desktop." And then you go into the mail app and you right click, and a menu does not appear. Yeah. You know, now you get these kind of metro UIs where something appears not where you clicked, but somewhere else in the app, and because that's how those apps work.
Right, that's I hated. I'm one of those people who hated the charms. I hated the fact that sometimes when you swipe down on an app, you get a menu coming from above. Sometimes you have to swipe up on an app and get menus coming from below. It's like you never know what you're going to get. It's always like, oh, let's see, does this app have this or not? You know,
it's a roulette wheel.
It kind of is, but you know, Your article brought up a lot of great stuff, but I found this other thing I wanted to talk about too, in case people haven't read this, because this is another really great rant on the topic of Windows 8 that I saw recently. And it's on this blog called Piecework by this guy named Andrew Lawrence, who works at UC Irvine. And I think he's a freelancer too. I believe that's what he is also. But he wrote this article about the miscalculations that Microsoft made with Windows 8. And I think this is a very interesting article because I don't want to say they made mistakes so much as when they were building Windows 8, they made a lot of calculations about what the market would look like when this thing launched that never came to pass. And he talks about they made the miscalculation about how much touch hardware would be out in the market. They miscalculated how much people would actually want to use touch on things like laptops. They made a miscalculation about how Windows 8 would impact their enterprise customers. And he just has this whole list that's super interesting. And we'll put the URL up for people who want it. But he brings up a lot of great points. And, you know, they had to make a bet when they built Windows 8 about things that they thought were going to come to pass. Because you always are building for something in the future when you build an operating system, right? You're not building for the current situation, or you shouldn't be. You should be building for what's next, just like they did with Xbox One operating system. And I think they made a lot of miscalculations.
It's funny, as you said this, I was thinking to myself, it's an odd thing to complain about with Microsoft, but Microsoft is at its best a follower. I mean, it sounds like a criticism, but I mean, they do their best when they follow. They just do. You know, that Microsoft.
When they're ahead, of the game, like they were with.
Yeah. So now you're asking this great follower to think, like, what do you think like computing's going to be like in 3 years? And we built for that, you know? And of course, then they make Windows 8.
Right.
And it's like, it's like that college humor joke about, you know, I designed Windows 7 and the result is a robot that shoots turtles and has lightning bolts and stuff. Because, you know, it has a little piece of what everyone wanted. And unfortunately, you know, it's funny and everything, but that's what, you know, it's a lot of Windows releases have been like that. I mean, they're just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Like Big Ginge in our chat room, who says, if they had put Windows 8 up on Kickstarter, you know, somebody.
Is there a kick to the curb?
Somebody should actually write up a Kickstarter proposal and describe Windows 8. And describe all the ideas and just see what the response would
be. It's like, are you insane? it is.
It wouldn't be I think the point of that is, if you were starting from scratch, you would never have done Windows 8.
No.
But no, Microsoft, you know, this is isn't.
When you're a hammer, everything's a nail, right? So we talk about this all the time. Google is a web company. Everything they do is a web service. They think that's their perspective. Microsoft is Windows, and they always, it's, how does this fit with Windows? You know, they got to get by this, you know, especially since Windows, like I've been saying, is not the primary computing platform anymore. I mean, it's not, or it won't be soon. You know, they got to get away from that. And it's, I don't know. We can't rewrite history. It's too bad. I think an RT 2.0 kind of thing with no desktop in there at all could have been something really cool. It could have been that Windows Phone tablet I was asking for. As soon as I saw Windows Phone, I thought, man, this would be an awesome tablet.
Yeah.
And that may happen by the time of Windows 9, but that'll be how many years after Windows 8, yeah. right?
Yep.
Three.
Yeah. There you go. One full Windows release. It happened anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Windows isn't just desktop. Windows Embedded lives on in a lot of places. But we ain't going.
What are you talking about? Oh, wait, this isn't there.
We ain't. Wait, where are you going with that one, Leo?
This is riffing now.
Man, what about that? Windows.
A lot of people don't
embedded.
Know about this, but there's something called Windows Embedded.
Wait,
tell
can
us,
you
Leo.
Talk about
tell
one
us
thing
more.
Before this.
Sure.
Sorry. Look at the item. It's kind of. I didn't lay this out very well in the show notes. Windows on Android rumor. So this isn't Windows Phone only. This is a story that came out in The Verge today that I want to talk about.
Oh, I misread that. I thought this was the Android Nokia. This is really weird.
This is really weird. And okay, so this is a story that The Verge ran today, and I have some bits to contribute to this too. That's why I want to talk about it.
Strange bedfellows. Microsoft could bring Android apps to Windows.
Right.
Not Windows Phone.
And Windows Phone. I know.
Now, you can already do something like that with BlueStacks.
Yes, you can. And Sweet Labs Pokey Suite also gives you a way to get non-native Windows apps on Windows right now, like if you use that product.
You have to have an ARM emulator to do it on Windows desktop.
There's so many things that are like, how would they actually do this? But Tom has heard from his sources, Tom Warren at The Verge, that Microsoft is debating this, and I have heard the same thing. I don't give it as much weight as Tom, I don't think. I wrote about this too in a column that I did on Redmond Magazine earlier this month. But I just kind of said, yeah, they're talking about it because the Windows team at this point, everything is on the table.
Right.
They're like just saying, hey, what could we do this? Should we do this? So for me, it's more like, could we, should we, would this legally and technically be possible and make any sense or not? to me,
by the way, if you have to ask the question you just asked, the answer is no.
So it answers one issue, which is,
is it legal?
Yeah, is it legal?
Does it violate any laws of God or nature?
Nature, maybe. It's a little island of Dr. Moreau-ish.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're asking those kind of questions, you're at a dubious spot.
Insane, right? Yeah. Like when you hear it, you're like, of course they're not going to let you put Android apps on Windows. They're like just asking the question. And to me, the biggest problem, the huge problem in this is the Windows development community. If they do this, why would anybody ever develop for Windows again?
Never.
Why would you? I don't see why.
By the way, and, it doesn't matter because the truth is no one will ever use this thing. If Windows 8 is a Frankenstein's monster, this is that thing that in The Fly where it didn't come out right and is like an arm sticking out of the head. And this is a completely different kind of monster.
But what if you go to the Windows Store and in the Windows Store you get Windows Store apps, you know, native Windows apps, and you could also choose to put Android apps on from the store?
That's the day Windows dies.
I wonder.
That's the day Microsoft gave up. That's the end.
They're talking about it inside. It's been discussed, but I'm not going to give it a ton of weight. I'm not going to say this is going to happen. I want to step way back from that and just say it has been discussed. It may still be in the midst of being discussed at Microsoft, but I think people should just know they are having these discussions. And I know a lot of developers are probably going to weigh in, especially at Build.
Can a user weigh in? Because I'll tell you what, I'm excited about the icon. But the first thing that comes to mind is, but what am I going to do with all about my Android apps?
So you would be into it.
Yeah. Well, it certainly addresses one issue, which is I've got Android apps. I can't play Flappy Bird on Windows Phone.
Sure.
I
mean,
that's a selling point.
There's no reason why Windows Phone technically couldn't run Android apps.
It's just
but then you run into the App Store issue. I mean, how do you How would you acquire those apps?
Yeah, and plus, it's not just App Store. This is that same question we had earlier, which is a lot of the Google services are in the API.
Well, that's not as big of an issue on a Microsoft platform because we have replacements for some of that stuff. But
you'd have to have plug-in API compatible, API level.
Oh, you're
plug-in.
Talking about for apps that use those.
Yeah, apps use them.
Yeah.
So the app has to make an API call that matches.
Right. You have a ghetto App Store that is some tiny percentage of the full Play Store.
Right.
This, that's how BlueStacks works. Spirals out of control.
BlueStacks has a small number of apps available. And in many cases, you know, for instance, Clash of Clans, which is a very popular Android and iOS app, you can't play on BlueStacks because it violates.
Yeah. And BlueStacks is a lot like running a virtual machine, right? It's it's the, you know, you get the environment. I mean, what you want is just the ability to launch the app.
Right.
And again, the day that you
I think it's
my Android device.
I'm with you, Mary Jo. I think Tom Warren is overstating this.
I want this crazy multi-armed monster.
Yeah. No.
It's like Microsoft. You just made Windows 8 and everyone hates it. What are you going to do next? We have a crazy idea. Let's
go to Disneyland.
we're going to embed Android in it.
Yeah.
It's like, who's running the show over there? What is going on?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It sounds crazy, but I can say, you know, people are telling Tom Warren he's crazy. He's not crazy because they are talking about it from what I've heard too.
Yeah. Accurately. Yeah.
Well, no, it sounds crazy. I'm not saying that.
It sounds crazy.
Sounds crazy. This sounds nuts.
Well, the more I think of it, the more difficult it sounds.
Yeah, it does sound hard. It's a hard problem.
Meanwhile, Titanfall. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm not a little nervous about Titanfall 2, by the way, but
March
11th. I don't want to be too negative on this episode.
I'm excited about Titanfall. I just was looking at a video on the Verge of gameplay from a pre-release.
I've actually played it and I'm not super excited.
It looks kind of cool. You get in that Titan and suddenly you're a, you know, boom.
Yeah, it's a neat combination of like a Call of Duty type thing where you run around and then Titanfall is the falling of the, you know, the mech to your to the ground. You can get in it and then you can be in a mech.
Right.
And it gives you a unique perspective on the map, obviously, because, you know, you're in a giant mechanized robot.
You're big.
Yeah, but I don't know. I have problems with games that are not Call of Duty. And this game is not Call of Duty.
It's not Call of Duty.
You know,
the Verge says it reinvents the first-person shooter.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's everything you need to know.
Right there. The only reason I'm excited, I'm just waiting for Xbox One titles to really kind of suck me in.
Not just suck.
Yes. Yeah. I think you nailed it right there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a tip of the week, a software pick of the week.
We never talked about Windows Embedded.
Windows Embedded.
IoT.
It's not called Windows Embedded anymore.
I wish you would pay attention to what's going on.
I don't know. I'm just getting the vapors. What is Windows Embedded and why is it on the list?
Yes.
Okay, I can do this quick.
No, I'm not. I was just teasing. I'm fascinated by this, actually, because people don't understand. Embedded software runs in many cases when they don't even know it. It's running.
That's right. Yep. So the Windows Embedded team moved into the Microsoft Unified Operating System team under Terry Myerson last fall. That was kind of a quiet move that they made because before they were actually in the server team, which was kind of odd.
Yeah.
But they moved them over to client and... At the time, we just found out this week, they changed the name of the team to the Internet of Things team. Yeah. So
it's like buzzword of the week team. Yeah.
Exactly. IoT buzzword of the week. And what that team has traditionally done is they've created different flavors of Windows Embedded that have gone primarily into industrial equipment. So things like ATMs and medical equipment, point of sale terminals. But now they're staffing up this team with some people who have some very interesting services chops and developer chops. I called out a couple in a post I did, people who've been at Microsoft a really long time who are now joining the IoT team. And they are broadening their charter, it seems, to be about not just the Windows Embedded platform now, but also about the services that connect to it and even wearables. So we've been kind of wondering how Microsoft was going to deal with the whole wearables thing, but it seems like this team is going to be working possibly with Alex Kipman, who used to work on the Kinect and is now also working for Terry Myerson, on creating some software, Windows software that may be inside other kinds of devices and not just industrial devices. So that's pretty interesting. Maybe we'll see a drone. Who knows? Windows Embedded drone.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I want to know when they're going to start working on mechs because I'm looking forward to being in one.
Yeah.
Microsoft mech.
You're going to mech?
No. Mexico. Like, really? So, okay, IoT, the Internet of Things team.
Yeah.
Our that show is... today. Sorry. We also have a rumor of the week coming up. You have not heard that yet. And a beer. But first, a word from Squarespace. A better web awaits you at squarespace.com. Did you see the wonderful Super Bowl? I really liked the Super Bowl ad Squarespace did, where they showed all how spam cluttered and junky the web has become. And the antithesis, the antidote to that, of course, is squarespace.com. You can go there right now and design a website that is beautiful, simple, clean, gets the job done, is efficient. A better web thanks to Squarespace. And it starts with your website. In fact, one of the things Squarespace has always done that I really appreciate is if you just go to squarespace.com and click the Get Started button, suddenly you are ready to go. You don't need to give them a credit card or any personal information. Just create a site. 25 beautiful templates to start with. What you don't see is what's behind these templates. Not only the elegant code, because they really are beautifully coded, but also that they're all mobile responsive. So every site designed with Squarespace works great on all size screens, from a 3-inch Asha phone to a 27-inch or larger monitor. That's all in built in. They also have, which I really like, they also have commerce built in. So every Squarespace site, even the basic sites now, can sell online, and which is great to know for a charity. You can get donations, cash wedding registries, school fund drives. So start with a design. Pick your design. And by the way, when you go and look at the designs, you can also see all the, or not all, but a number of sites designed with that template, which will give you a nice idea of what's possible using Squarespace. You see a lot of photographers use Squarespace, a lot of portfolios, blogs for commerce. It's just great. And by the way, it's easy to use, but if you need help, they've got live chat and email support 24/7 a day, 24/7, plus a completely designed, redesigned customer help site for easier access to self-help articles. They've got video workshops for free. They've just added something I think is super cool. They have a logo design tool, a logo creator tool, which allows you to, even if you know you're not a designer or an artist, to create a logo. It includes all of the Google fonts. That's hundreds of fonts, plus hundreds of icons. So let's see. I'm going to create my logo, Twit. We start there. And then you can choose an icon to go with it from the vast set of icons. Oh, I like that. You can play around with the fonts, with the icons, with the tagline. Netcasts you love from people you trust. There we go. Let's put that in there. We'll move this over. Anyway, you get the idea. This is a fabulous tool that is just part of the Squarespace subscription. And on the price, go look at the pricing. The prices are right. It starts at $8 a month for the basic plan. And when you register that year subscription, you'll also get a domain name thrown in for free and all the hookup. Most people are going to go with the pro plan, which is only $16 a month with an annual plan. Unlimited pages, galleries, and blogs. Unlimited storage. Unlimited bandwidth. You never get it. You never get dinged for bandwidth. A developer platform that's great. If you know HTML, JavaScript, CSS, it works with Git. Secure FTP. You can do everything you need. A beautiful editor with syntax coding, color coding. $24 will get you the full business site that includes e-commerce. Actually, e-commerce is on all the plans now. But you get the unlimited products, whether it's digital or physical or services. You get real-time carrier shipping. You got label printing via ShipStation, integrated accounting by Xero. I mean, this is such a great deal. I've probably gone on too long with the services and the features. It's such a great site. I just want you to visit squarespace.com. Take the tour. Try it out. You don't need a credit card to do it. It's hosting plus the best software. Always secure because they keep it up to date. You don't have to. After your two-week trial, if you decide you want to buy, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows2. Windows and the number 2, and you get 10% off and show your support for Windows Weekly. Windows 2, because it's February. A better web awaits, and it starts with your new Squarespace website, squarespace.com. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, Windows Weekly on the air. Time for our tip of the week with Paul Thurrott.
So the tip and the pick are kind of combined this time. I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, but you know, for the past couple of years, or I guess year and a half, I guess I used a Nike Fuel Band, you know, and I actually bought the newer version when that came out last fall. And
that's what
the Nike Fuel Band.
I thought you looked like you've been working out. You look good. You look fit.
I could look better, but the Nike Fuel Band measures something. I can't tell you what it is because Nike made it up.
And it's magic. Like this, yeah.
Yeah. It's like this kind of a proprietary thing that Nike does.
Activity. And it's measuring activity.
It measures your activity. Yeah. They call it, I think they just call it the Fuel Points or whatever. I don't remember anymore because I stopped using it. But I find the Nike product to be aggravating because in the winter, especially, I use an elliptical trainer. To do cardio.
Yes.
Because, you know, where I live is like Narnia. And when you're on an elliptical trainer, if you use it correctly, you're doing this kind of motion with your arms, and the Fuel Band doesn't measure that kind of motion. It only measures like the swinging of your arm.
Same with rowing, same with a lot of the treadmill.
I find that incredibly aggravating because there's nothing like doing 40 minutes of fairly aggressive workout and then getting zero credit for it in this little digital device. And so I've been kind of looking around for something better. And what I've settled on is the Fitbit, which is probably the other major product in this category. And I have to say, having measured this thing side by side with the Nike Fuel Band, it actually is far more accurate and works well in these non-standard kind of motions, which I like. So if I get on the elliptical trainer, I actually get credit for that. But the Fitbit is better than the Nike Fuel Band in many other ways as well. It measures more things. Measures your sleep quality, which I am fascinated by. And I actually get up every morning and sync the device just to look at how well I slept. And I kind of compare it, what it says, to what I believe, you know, happened. And I have a particular sleeping issue, but it is really neat. It also works wirelessly, which is kind of interesting. And so they give you like a little nubbin that you can put in a computer if you want to do it right to the device. But if you have an Android device or an iPhone, and someday soon Windows Phone, because we just got this capability in Windows Phone as well, it can sync directly to that phone without the nubbin. And so you can, you know, do that kind of thing as well. It also integrates with Microsoft HealthFall, which I talked about previously. And so your Fitbit stuff can, you know, move along with you to other services and all that kind of stuff. And so they do a nice job. They have a lot of other things. They have, you know, meal and diet planners and other exercises and all kinds of other stuff, and they measure, you know, they measure steps and they measure calories, and they do all that kind of, it's all real world stuff. It's not some, you know, invented kind of thing. So I think that's kind of cool.
Which Fitbit is it? One?
It's the bigger, like Force, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Is that the bigger one?
I think you're right. I think it's the Force.
Yeah. Yeah. There's different ones. Yeah.
Yeah. There are different ones. Yeah. It's the wristband one, you know, like that.
Yeah. Fitbit Force.
Yeah. Force, yeah. So today I have walked, not much, but 4,200.
Does it mock you?
No. Oh, well, that's, by the way, that's another thing. So one of the improvements they supposedly made to the Fuel Band was in the second version, it animates to, you know, to goad you into doing stuff, but I never noticed it. And this one can actually buzz on your wrist and you feel it, you know, and it's better in so many ways. I think it's a neat product. Of course, I use Windows. And so if you buy the device, you can go to their site, you can download an application for the desktop, and that's how you do the sync and all that kind of stuff. But actually, Fitbit makes mobile apps for a variety of platforms, not for Windows Phone, but they do make a mobile app for Windows 8. So if you want the full screen kind of Windows RT experience, you can get that. And there's a third-party and free Fitbit app called Fitbit Tracker, which looks and works just like the regular Fitbit thing. So we're not really left out in the cold. On Windows Phone. The only thing we don't have yet is the ability to sync changes directly to Windows Phone. And that's now technically possible because of changes that have come in Update 3 plus Black. So that should and certainly could happen soon.
Yeah. I'm feeling more healthy already.
I wish I was.
So...
Actually, I made this joke, I think on Twitter, but certainly on Facebook, that what was it? The Untapped app gives me achievements for drinking, and Fitbit gives me achievements for working out.
Perfect.
And between the two, I find balance.
Very nice.
And a lot of gold stars on both accounts. So let's get our enterprise pick of the week from Mary Jo Foley.
Yes, the enterprise pick of the week is the addition of multi-factor authentication to more Office 365 plans.
Good.
Yep. So last June, people who had the enterprise Office 365 plan could do multi-factor authentication. Now, anybody who is in mid-sized business, enterprise, academic, or nonprofit can do this. And you also, if you are a standalone Exchange Online or SharePoint Online user, you also can. So all you have to do is go into the Office 365 administrative interface. There's a live link at the top. You make the change. And if you are using Office 365 desktop apps, you are also going to have the separate app password when MFA is enabled. The one missing link in this whole thing, though, was small business, curiously. And Microsoft had no comment when we asked them when and if small business plans in Office 365 are going to get this. Paul, do you know anything more on that? Because we couldn't get
I
an answer.
Got a very terse no comment when I asked about that. Because that was the first thing that I wondered. Why would they leave out the two small businesses? Yeah.
Right.
So why I'm not? Sure there's some reason, but I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. So that's your enterprise pick of the week.
Thank you. The rumor, I want to hear
small
it.
Small business pick of the week.
Small. Soho. Yeah. The Soho pick of the week. Whatever happened to Soho?
The infamous rumor of the week.
Finally.
All right. Let me qualify before I tell you what it is. So this is from one person I do not know who sent this to me anonymously.
Oh, you saw it on Secret.
Yeah, I saw it on Secret.
Okay.
No, I did not. But somebody who, because of where this came from, I'm like, maybe this is true. I'm not sure. So I'd give this, if I was going to give this a rumor, a probability, I'd give it a 4, maybe, out of 10.
Okay.
Okay.
I could take
so
that.
The rumor is that when Microsoft does announce Windows Phone 8.1 at Build, it's not going to be called Windows Phone 8.1. The rumor is it's going to be called Windows Phone 9.
Oh.
And this is kind of interesting. Okay, so the developer documentation obviously calls it Windows Phone 8.1, right? Doesn't it, Paul?
Yep.
But, you know, we've...
Does it? Yeah, I think so.
Does it? Okay, so, but we've seen this in the past. Remember around Windows, was it Windows Phone 7.1 that actually got called 7.5?
Right.
So, you know, they may want to have a more consumer-friendly name for this version of Windows Phone when it comes out. Windows Phone 8.1, not that consumer-friendly. And this, and now that we've seen all the features that are in this update from the leaks, this is a pretty big update. So you could see them potentially jump and call this Windows Phone 9. And then that would be very synergistic because at Build, they're going to supposedly talk about Windows 9, right? So they could say, hey, here's Windows Phone 9, and we're going to tell you about Windows 9, which is coming next year.
Oh, I feel that's
the rumor. It's pure rumor.
A1 makes more sense because of the synergy, but I... Because eventually Windows 9 is going to be released. Then what are they going to call Windows Phone?
I know. Then will they call the next Windows Phone Windows Phone 10 or will they call it something else? So pure rumor. Don't give this a lot of weight. I'm not giving this a lot of weight. I'm not even going to write it up for my site.
It's plausible. It's plausible.
It's plausible. If I can get more sourcing on it, I would. But right now, only I'm just going to tell you.
It does say Windows Phone 8.1 in the software. But
it does. Okay. So as we noted, that's happened before. Sometimes Microsoft calls it one thing internally. And outside for customers, it calls it something else.
Right.
That's the rumor.
I hate it when they do that.
I don't mean to go off on a rant here, Leo.
No more rants this week. One rant was enough.
And just in time, our beer of the week.
Oh, so timely.
You have to counteract the fitness, all those fitness picks.
Yeah.
So... Bell's Brewing in Michigan their beer has never been available in New York because of various distribution rules and requirements. Well, this week they launched in New York And I get to have a whole bunch of their beers this week, which we've never been allowed to have here before. And one of my favorites was the Kalamazoo Stout. It's just, if you like basic stouts, no flavors added, no bourbon barrel, no this, no that, just an easy drinking, delicious stout. This is your stout. And
Now, it does note that it's brewed with brewer's licorice.
Oh, it does? Is it? Okay. A little something
added.
That's
what it says on the Beer Advocate, and I don't know.
It was really good.
That would actually give it a nice little...
Yeah. It gave it a nice little tartness, I think. It was just, like, when I drank it, I'm like, that's what a stout should be. Yeah. That is a stout. And it would be great with oysters, if you like oysters. I get to try a whole bunch of their beers. Their most famous one, which I didn't want to make the beer pick because of Paul's hatred for IPAs.
Hops. That's a little inaccurate. It's more of a burning hatred.
Burning hatred. So I didn't make Hop Slam the pick of the week, which is their most famous, probably one of their most famous beers.
By the way, the only thing I hate more than hoppy beers are hop-related puns and beer names.
Oh, okay, dear.
Well, there you go.
Although I do enjoy the name. I should say there is my favorite brewery does make a beer called Black Hops, which is quite good.
Okay.
Black Hops. That's funny.
That is funny.
Call a beery.
Call of Duty 2 Black Hawk.
Yeah. So, if you get to ever see a Bell's beer, I tried the Cherry Stout. It was really good. The Two Hearted Ale, delicious. That was an IPA. Not too hoppy, but a good one. So they have a lot of really, really nice beers.
And Joe, the next time you come to Massachusetts, you have to go to Blue Hoos Brewery.
I know.
They have a number of the IPA type beers that are very, very good and not super crazy.
So, there you go. I would love to try them.
Ladies and gentlemen, that rounds out our Windows Weekly for today. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. His books are online and available for download. A couple of them, the Windows, I want to say music.
It's like, I don't want to say what it's like, but it's, I was going to say, it's like visiting a person in a hospital.
Hi, and who are you?
I kind of remember you. But
are you my son? Hello, Mary.
We're going to fight Nazis on the moon.
Yeah. There's a book I know online. It's called the Windows 8.1 book.
So I have a Windows Phone 8.1, Windows Phone 8 book that will have to be updated pretty soon, apparently.
I am working
on an Xbox Music 2.0 book.
Yeah.
And I'm also working on the Windows 8.1 book, which is actually getting pretty damn close to finish.
If you wished to find these, probably the best thing would be to go to winsupersite.com.
Just go to winsupersite.com.
Where they would have massive, big buttons that you could push.
If you can somehow get past that one article that everyone seems so intrigued by, there is other stuff.
You're the guy who hates Microsoft,
aren't
you?
Why do you hate Microsoft? Exactly.
I know you.
That's my favorite kind of feedback. It's like, I was curious to see someone like Paul criticizing Microsoft. It's such a turnaround for you.
No, it's not.
It's like, really?
Look, really? Sometimes, in fact, every show, somebody will say, oh, sure. You guys, like, and this is true on MacBook Weekly, how could you say anything bad about Apple? How could you say anything bad about Microsoft? We don't work for those companies. We don't represent the interests of those companies. We all, and I say this collectively for all the Twit hosts, represent users. Our job is to represent users and to talk about it as a user. And if somebody disappoints you, then we call them out. And if they do something great, we tell them, great job. But that's not our responsibility, is not to praise. We come here not to bury Microsoft, but neither to praise him.
Sounds like something out of Caesar.
It does, doesn't it? Does. Friends, Romans, Windows users, lend me your mice. Mary Jo Foley writes about Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com on the ZDNet blogs. And we do this show together. We gather together every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, to speak of these things. And if you would like to join us live, we love it if you do. Our chat room is, I think, one of the things that makes Twit unique in the world. And it's certainly a lot of fun. If you want to be here live and interact with us, please do. Otherwise, we do make on-demand audio and video available after the fact for all of our shows. In this case, go to twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly, and you can get all the episodes ever recorded, all 349 of them, including today's audio and video. And, of course, you put it on YouTube, too. It's youtube.com/Windows Weekly. We put it, and, you know, it's on the Xbox Music Store and all of that. You can, and now on the new Podcasts app. You can get it there, too, on Windows Phone. Thank you, boy and girl. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Are you my son?
Hey, you guys put the New Year's Eve beer episode up. That
yes.
was really cool.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. Don't yes. forget, if you missed our New Year's Eve party, and it was such a great party, Paul playing Call of Duty, we have mm-hmm. taken Mary Jo's New Year's Eve beer tasting and put that up on the Twit site and on our YouTube site so you can see. And if I know a lot of you are wondering, you know, what beers and so forth. It was really fun to do that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Is that on the specials? I can't remember where we put that.
I think so.
S-P-E-C.
You're looking very dashing in the picture with your tie.
I'm wearing a tuxedo. Yes, I am. Yeah, in fact, we've got a lot of
He cleans up nice, you know?
Well, I clean up anyway. We have Brian Brushman's Magic Show, Alex Lindsay's Mixed Drinks, Jedi Training, and there it is, episode 184, Beer Tasting with Mary Jo Foley. Oh, yes. I look like... I don't know, Ben Stein or something.
You look like a game show host.
Yeah. And here she is, Mary Jo Foley. Steve Gibson joined us. He's not a huge beer drinker, so it was kind of fun to see him tasting some of these great beers. He loved the Creek.
Oh, I know.
He was crazy about to. Yeah. I'm crazy about the Creek. So you can see all of the beers and everything right there on twit.tv/specials. Sky Drive. They're still calling it Sky Drive today.
As of today, Sky Drive.
Not OneDrive. Shared by Paul Thurrott, who, by the way, I've been giving you, I don't know if you've heard yet, grief all week for your Flappy Bird score.
I don't play Flappy Birds.
What?
I've never once played Flappy Birds.
Oh, that's hysterical. Then there's somebody pretending to be Paul Thurrott.
Oh, no, it's probably one of my kids. Is this on iTunes?
It's on Android. No, it's on iTunes. It's on iTunes.
So that would be my kids playing on my account.
Oh, yeah, because by the
I don't use Apple devices, so.
Aha! That's the kids.
Why, is it a high score?
It's a really high score.
Oh, that's got to be Mark, then.
I said, Paul, get to work. Stop playing Flappy Birds.
I have never once played Flappy Birds.
Oh, damn. That spoiled my whole narrative that I had created, a la NBC News.
Yep.
I have a whole narrative I'd like to enforce. So look at here on my Flappy Bird leader
number
sheet.
One.
Number one, awesome. Paul Thurrott.
That's actually, all right, so wait, that has to be, that's not Android, it's iTunes.
It's right? iTunes, yeah. It's on the Game Center.
Yeah, because the kids have like iPods or something. And
118. The next one is Carl Anderson with 75.
No. So I mean this honestly, I've seen it, obviously. My son has preached the wonders of this game to me. And I looked at it and I said, it's ripping off Super Mario Brothers. I don't understand.
Yeah, in fact, Nintendo apparently sent him a cease and desist because the pipes are bit for bit.
Like pixel. Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are.
At least that's the story. Nintendo says, well, we're not sure.
Yeah, my next book is going to be Flappy Bird Secrets.
I love it. Why I assumed, hey, this guy has natural Twitch reflexes.
No, I don't. Mobile games are not my thing. As the most time I've ever spent in a mobile game is in solitaire.
Yeah. Well, if I ever want to feel bad, I just go to my Xbox One and look at Paul's clips from Call of Duty.
That was my son and I actually just sat down and watched 30 minutes of my greatest moments on Call of Duty.
There's a father-son moment, I'll tell you.
Yeah. It was, there's some good ones.
What is that upload? What do they call that site? Can I see it on a computer?
I don't know.
It's upload, right?
Upload Center, I think it's called. I have these really cheap, like Death from Above kills. So you can see some guy running for like a building from above and the missile's coming down. And he gets in the door, but then you can guide the missile into the doorway.
I saw it.
And you can just, it makes this great, it's like a kind of a sound. You can't hear it, but you know this guy is on the other end going, mother.
You know? How'd he get me? That's what you love. Yeah.
You're like, nope.
That guy's cheating.
It's like when Schwarzkopf used to show those videos, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And here's the luckiest guy in Iraq. You know, he just makes it over the bridge before it blows up.